So you've made some new friends in town, and you know, maybe you've gone out to dinner with them a couple of times, or you went to Panera and grabbed a cup of coffee, and you know, your kids have had an opportunity, or maybe that's how it started. Your kids were friends in school, and so the kids are like, hey, we want to spend more time at our new friend's house, and you want to make sure they're not axe murderers. And so, you know, as moms and dads, you've gotten together a little bit, and you met in the neutral territory, you know, Panera or one of the restaurants or, you know, whatever, and you had a couple play dates, and they're not axe murderers. They're actually kind of nice, and you like them. And so the kids are playing, and your families are getting to know each other, and it's fun. It's great. It's awesome. And they say this, you know, you're having coffee or whatever, and they're like, hey, you know, the Pats are playing on Sunday. Would you guys like to come over and watch the game with us? And so they're like, okay, this relationship is going to the next level, and we're going to go over and watch the game with our new friends, and the kids are going to, you know, do their thing. And you're excited because having new friends is awesome. Getting to meet new people is just very exciting. And you're like, yeah, well, absolutely, that'd be great. What can we bring? And they say what you can bring, and so you bring the thing. And so, you know, the Pats are playing this afternoon at 1 o'clock, and so maybe even today you're thinking like, yeah, you know, we're gonna go over to some friend's house, we're gonna watch the Pats game. This new friendship, new relationship, it's growing, it's developing. And so, you know, you go to your friend's house, you find their house, you're standing on the front doorstep, you have the thing that they said you're supposed to bring, and they answer the door, and you notice two things immediately. The first thing you notice is that the whole stinking family is wearing a Pats jersey. And, like, your family doesn't even own a Pats jersey because you're fans. I mean, you're happy. You like the team, but you're kind of more into the relationship side of thing, and you were thinking more about my new friends, and you weren't really thinking, like, Pats Nation. And then you open the door, and it's like, Pats Nation. And, like, you're just dressed like you were, and it's like they're all in matching, whoop, and you're like, okay. And they're all barefoot. And you're like, oh, it's one of those houses. Okay. And you wore your Star Wars socks. And you love your Star Wars socks. In fact, you love them so much that they actually have a hole in the heel. And if you knew that you were going to be going to Pat's Nation where they're barefoot because they don't wear shoes inside that house, you would not have worn your Star Wars socks that day. But there you are. You don't have the Brady jersey, and you have the socks on that now everyone's going to see how much you love C-3PO and R2-D2. Like, it's going down right now. Like, well, we're going to really test this friendship right off the bat here. Because we don't meet that, we're different from them. And the question is it okay? Is our friendship going to continue and develop if we're not Pat's Nation and we're the kind of family that like likes to wear our shoes inside the house? And we don't have the thing where, you know, all the shoes are lined up by the door because you do stuff and you're just, that's not your, so you're do how much like you do I have to become? And so you watch the game, and you have a great time, and the relationship is developing, and the relationship is going, and you know, hey, the Pats are playing next week too. Do you guys want to? And you're like, yeah, we kind of would. And so, as the relationship grows and develops, and you spend more and more time with this family, and you spend more and more time watching the Pats, you're like, you were kind of a this Pats fan, but they're kind of like this Pats fan, but as you're getting to know and love each other, you know, you're kind of becoming more of a Pats fan, and you're like, hey, you know, maybe we can go to Five Below and, you know, find some Pats jerseys, because that would be kind of fun to, you know, show up. Wouldn't that make them smile 2 or 3 weeks down the road in the middle of the season when it's starting to get intense, and are they going to be in the playoffs, and are they not going to be in the playoffs, and are they going to have the home field advantage, and like, you're starting to care. And you're like, wouldn't they just get a kick out of it if we showed up like Pat's Nation barefoot? And so you do. And so you're starting to change because you love these guys. And you actually kind of start liking the Patriots more too. And that's where you're at. And that's how the relationship grows. And that's how the friendship becomes a thing. And it's a very awesome and it's a very wonderful thing. But you can see how these steps to developing this friendship can be a little frightening. And you ask this question, is my care for you, is my love for you, is my friendship for you reciprocated? Like, maybe you don't always have to wear the Pats jerseys when we come over. Like, maybe it's okay if we wear our shoes inside your house every once in a while. Like, how is my friendship for you going to be reciprocated? And how much am I willing to change to make this friendship work? And so for some of you, this might be your first time at River Church, and you've gone to that situation where it was the house of Patriots Nation, but now you're in God's house. and you've been in God's house and other times in your life, or maybe it's been a long time since you've been in God's house, and so you wore today what you think you should wear in God's house, and then the guy doesn't have a shirt tucked in. And you're like, what? And other guys are wearing shorts. And you're like, what? And I feel a little overdressed now. I feel a little stuffy, and it's in a school, and it's kind of weird. And like, I kind of like what I'm seeing at River Church. I like the music. I connected with the worship team, and it was good. And I want to draw closer to the Lord. And I know I need to make decisions of faith. I want to be in God's house. But how much do I have to change? How much do I have to change? Because I am trying to place my faith in God. But how much faith is God putting into me? How much do I have to change to really be a Christian? How much do I really have to? Is there something that I can know? Is there something that happens so that I know that my faith in God is being reciprocated? Have you ever thought about it that way? We think about it like in terms of dating relationships. We think about it in terms of friendship relationships. Like, am I overcommitting? Am I overcommitting, or do they feel the same way about me? Because if they feel the same way about me, it's a little magical right now, and we're going to draw closer together. And we desire that with God, or else we wouldn't be here this morning. It's that simple. There are so many other things we could be doing with our time that if we didn't feel that way this morning, we would not have dragged the family out of bed. We would have just made them pancakes, because that's so much easier, right? And so the question this morning is, as I'm taking steps of faith in my relationship, my pursuit of, my desire for God, does God make steps of faith towards me too? And if so, what has to happen? What do I need to change? Because I understand that if I'm going to hang out with Pat's Nation, then I need to probably make some changes in my life, or our relationship is going to kind of plateau and fall off. And we get it. If we're going into God's house, we understand that his word is amazing, that his word is important, and his son is perfect, and he kind of proved it because he came back from the dead, and that the image is to be conformed into the image of Christ. And so we know that it's got to change, right? We know that we're going to have to change, but what does that change look like, and how do I know that God is as into us as we are into him? It's a question of church membership. Do I belong, and how do I know it? I'm glad you asked. That was a really good question, and you guys framed that so well. Are we on the same page? We're getting there? Ready to jump into the scripture? Because that's the question this morning. Is my faith in God reciprocated? Or am I overextending myself? Or am I not trying hard enough? Let's find out. So we've been talking about for the past few weeks, church membership. Why is it important? Why do we care? And the first concept of church membership, it's more important than any individual church, is a question of salvation. Am I saved? Do I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Have I placed my faith in him? Am I sorry for my sins? Am I repentant for my sins? Do I even know what my sins are? And am I researching and investing myself in his word, his ways, because he's going to provide something for me that I cannot provide for myself, which is peace. If I could provide peace and forgiveness to myself, I wouldn't be seeking, right? I'd be eating pancakes with my family. It's like a life vest, right? That knowledge, that security, that we have a relationship with God, that he is providing something for us that we cannot provide for ourselves. We stay afloat on the river of life. Come what may, even if we're to a certain degree incapacitated and our arms aren't working and our legs aren't working and we can't even swim, our head is out of water, right? We're safe. But everybody knows that people who are bobbing down the river in a life vest might be in some form of distress. You're supposed to travel down the river in a canoe. That's how you go. And the life vest is just there so that when the bad day happens, you're safe and you're preserved and you can be rescued and put back into a canoe. So the second question of church membership is, who do you hang out with? Who are your people? What is your church? And we don't mean building, right? We mean people, because that's what a church is. It's people who happen to meet somewhere that we call a church. But the church is people. So who are my people? Because there's all kinds of different groups of people that are known as Christians, and there's Catholics and Protestants, and there's all different kinds all over the place. So who are your people? What's important to your people? What is your people's understanding of the Bible? What is your people's culture? And do you belong to that people? Have you made a commitment to that people? Do you help support those people? Do they help support you? Is there a relationship there? And so the second question of church membership is actually, are you a member? Number one, are you a Christian? Life vest. Number two, are you in the canoe? Or maybe you need to be in another canoe. That's fine too, but commit. Commit to a canoe, because nothing's more awkward than canoe jumping, right? Canoe hopping, people get wet that don't want to get wet, right? So don't be hopping from canoes. You just tick everybody off, right? Including yourself. So pick a canoe. That's the second idea of church membership. The third idea of church membership is illustrated by this verse. And the verse is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Because we're taking our ideas of membership right from the scripture. And it's a book of the Bible called Ephesians. And we're seeing how Paul has addressed membership matters with the church that he started in the first century. And we've worked through salvation. We've worked through the importance of having a people. And today we're talking about this concept here to answer the question, is my faith in God reciprocated? Has he placed his faith in me? And if so, how do I know? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 says this. Now grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of the Messiah's gift. Okay, I want to read that again. There's a lot in this one little verse. Some very fascinating concepts, and it's the answer to our question. Now, grace, something that God gives to us, was given to each one of us according to the measure, according to the greatness, according to the quantity of the Messiah's love. What does he give us? A gift. The Messiah, Jesus Christ, has given us a gift according to the grace that has been given to us. Well, how do we get God's grace? We ask for it. Heavenly Father, I know that I have failed you, I have failed myself, and I have failed others. If I could bring peace into my life, I would do it, but I can't. And so I'm asking you to do something for me that I can't do for myself, which is save me from my sin. Show me how I have failed you. I want to make it right. In Jesus' name, amen. Right? That's how grace gets poured into our life. We ask for it. And then in commensurate with the Jesus' love for us, according to the measure of his love for us, once grace has been poured, there's a present for us. There is a gift for us. And when we're talking about church membership, the image, the illustration, the picture that we're talking about is a paddle. How do you move the canoe forward? How do you know that you are actually a member of the church and that you are, that your faith in God has been reciprocated, that God has placed his faith in you? You know because he's given you a job and the ability to fulfill it. It's called a gift. You have an aptitude. You have something to contribute to this party. You know that these Pats Nation fans of yours, the barefoot ones, are really your people when you notice that your glass is empty and you say, hey, I'm going to go get some more of the beverage of my choice. Would anybody like something else? And they say, yeah, get me one of these. And now you're going into their kitchen, opening up their dishwasher, opening up their freezer, opening up their cupboards, opening up their refrigerator, and serving them from what they have provided, because they don't care if you see into their cupboards. They don't care if you see into their refrigerator, right? That's because that's really intimate stuff, what we eat, what we consume, how we organize, how we run our house. So when you get up off the couch and say, hey, I'm going to get a little more of the thing, and would anyone else like something, and you don't live there, and they say, yeah, get me some more of the things too, you're in. They just gave you a job. They've provided the things for you to fill the things with, right? The beverages, the drinks. But you now have a job. You're in. They don't care what you see in their kitchen. That they're totally fine with giving you access to the really intimate stuff. And now you know you belong. Barefoot, Star Wars socks, or shoes, you have a job. Pats Nation t-shirt or not, they're happy to see you, and they're comfortable with you doing things inside their house. You're in. Your faith in them, your friendship in them has been reciprocated, because now you have a responsibility and the means to fulfill it. No more questions about the status of your relationship, right? And it's a wonderful feeling. And this is why we do stuff together with other families. It's not much different inside of the church. Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to everyone who has received grace has received a gift. And we're going to learn more about that gift right now because it's the third question in membership. Is my faith in God reciprocated? The answer is yes. How do I know? He's given you a gift. He's given you something to do and the means to actually get the thing done. It's like a paddle in the canoe. You're not jumping from one canoe to another. You're not bobbing down the river, and you're not sitting there doing nothing. You know that you know that you know because you're helping move the mission forward using the paddle that has been given to you, okay? Here we go. Let's learn more about this gift. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. The text continues. Paul is explaining about the nature of this gift. For it says, and he's referring to the book of Psalms, when he ascended on high, he took prisoners into captivity. He gave gifts to people. It's a very confusing verse. The bottom line is he's talking about how God conquers and takes prisoners and then gives out gifts as a returning king. It's as if the king went to war and he won all of the things. He subdued all the peoples. He brought all the peoples back into him. Now they're all a part of his kingdom and he's distributing gifts from his newfound wealth. He's a conquering king. And he goes on to say, but what does he ascended, Jesus, mean except that he also descended, again referring to Jesus, to the lower parts of the earth? What does it mean that Jesus went up into heaven and came back down to earth? This is what Paul is saying. What it means is that the one who descended back to earth is also the one who ascended into heaven far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And so Paul is saying is that when Jesus gives you a gift, number one, he's like a conquering king and he rules all the lands, the high lands and the low lands, the heavens and the earth. Jesus is a conquering king. He's given you a gift. It's his right to do so. He just conquered everything. And by everything, we mean everything, the heavens and the earth. Jesus reigns supreme. There have been books written about those verses. Just do the Josh notes. For now, that's what this is talking about here. Jesus is the conquering king who comes to give gifts. Continuing in verse 11 through 12, and he personally, Jesus Christ personally, now we're going to find out what the gifts are, and they're probably not what you expect. And he personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the training of the saints and the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ. So what, according to this passage, are the gifts that Jesus gives? He laid a firm foundation for the church by gifting the church with different types of leaders. The gifts are people. That's what the gift is. The gifts, according to this passage, are people. Now, in other passages in the Bible, and if you're taking notes and if this is helpful to you, there are five other passages in the Bible where the biblical author writes, and these are gifts that Jesus Christ has given to the church. Those passages can be found in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10, also verses 28 through 30 in that same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 12, which we just read, and also 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. And so as a devotional exercise or out of curiosity, if you wanted to read more about spiritual gifts, you could look at those passages and you would find out that not only are spiritual gifts, first and foremost, people that God has blessed the church with, but there are actual aptitudes and abilities that God gives people that allow them to serve the church powerfully. But all the gifts are given through people to people so that the church might be strengthened. Jesus gives gifts to his church, not so that we can receive the gifts, but so that we can give the gift away. Jesus is loving on his church because of you. You're the gift. How God wants to work through your life in your particular church is the gift. And the aptitudes and the abilities that he has given you to do so are also the gift. Wrapping up this biblical passage and this conversation about spiritual gifts and how we can know that we know that we know that our faith in God has been reciprocated, the answer is We can know that our faith in God has been reciprocated when he has given us a job in our church and the ability to do it. We are the gift. Pick up the paddle, put it in the water, because you're the only one that can do it the way you can do it, because God has blessed you, has given you as a gift to your local church. Wrapping this up in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. And what is the goal? The goal is until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man, into a mature person with a stature that is measured by Christ's fullness. So what is the goal? The goal is that the church is only going to be as strong, the church is only going to be as healthy, the church is only going to be as full as those of us who belong to the church give ourselves to it. That's what he's saying. And the goal is the church can't do what the church does if people don't pick up their paddles. The canoe is just going to stay afloat. The canoe is going to meander down the current of the river, but it's not actually going to go anywhere unless people use their spiritual gifts, give themselves in service to their Lord back to the church. That's how the canoe moves down the river. Pick up your paddle and paddle the thing in the way that God has blessed you to do so, because you're the gift. And he's given you a means to be a gift. You have a job in the local church, and he's given you the aptitudes and the abilities to be a gift to your local church. Did you know that when the Bible talks about spiritual gifts, it's talking about, in many passages, it's talking about you, that you're the gift. You're the gift. And some of us might think, yeah, I knew I was the gift. You're a bad person. Because the gift is not for you, it's for those that are around you. But for more than likely, most of us are like, what? I'm the gift? I'm somehow special? I have a job in God's family, in God's church? There's something that's not moving forward in the church because I am not giving of myself how God has empowered me to do so? Yeah, that's right. That's right. We're floating down the current, but we're also waiting for you. And so next week, we're going to talk about, well, how do you know what your gift is? We're going to talk about that. And Paul's going to have some guidance about that. And the membership process that we're going to be introducing, that hopefully you'll have a chance to go through at some point or another, that question is going to get answered real personally, because we're going to actually talk to you and pray with you and help you understand not only salvation and not only membership at River Church, but also, how has God blessed you uniquely? How are you a gift to River Church? We're going to answer that question, and that's going to be part of our membership process as well. Because at the end of the day, moving forward, becoming the image of Jesus to the fullness of Jesus Christ's measure is not something that we can do by ourselves. We don't get the choice of paddling the canoe down the river by ourselves. The canoe moves forward, and there's lots of room in the canoe when we work together. So developing this concept of attaining this goal that Paul says to the fullness of the measure of Christ is not something that we get to do as individuals. We get to do it together. And so once upon a time, Jesus was sharing a meal with his disciples, and it was actually his last meal, and so the Bible calls it the Last Supper. And he says something very distressing at this meal. He goes, all of you are going to fall away. All of you are going to abandon me. All of you, to a certain degree, I'm going to be betrayed personally, but all of you, to a certain degree, are going to betray me, because you are going to be scattered like a flock of sheep that has lost their shepherd. You're just going to run free for a while. And of course, if you're familiar with this story found in the New Testament, in the Gospels, you know who stood up right then. Who stood up right then and said, no, Lord, you're wrong? Peter did, right? Peter, hey, even if all of these other jokers fall away, I'm not going to fall away, because I am in it to win it. I am a gift to you, Jesus. And what does Jesus say? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows this morning, you're going to deny me three times. Did you even know who I am? And Peter is leveled. And then Jesus says something interesting. But when you have been restored, I want you to do something. What's the job that Jesus gave the restored and the humbled Peter? Does anyone remember? strengthen my brothers. Because Peter, it's not about you and what you offer me. It's about me and what I give to you and how you pour yourselves into others. You think you're strong, I'm gonna do you a favor right now. It's not gonna feel like a solid, it's gonna feel terrible, but I'm telling you what's gonna happen. You're gonna fall away from me before the sun even comes up, buddy, 3 times. But that's not the end of us. That's actually the beginning. Because for the first time in your life, you're gonna realize that it's not about being all strong. It's about me being strong in you. So now you will be able to strengthen my brothers. Because my brothers, these other disciples, they're gonna be hot messes. They're gonna be hot messes. And so I'm gonna pour myself into you. And who was known as the first leader of the first century church? In fact, the Catholic Church traces the Pope right back to him, right? Peter. He was used powerfully by God after he was betrayed because he realized it wasn't about how special he was, it was about how special God was in him as he gave it away to his brothers. That is a spiritual gift. And it came through a time of testing in Peter's life. And I'm not saying that all of us have to go through that same kind of betrayal and time of testing, but it really illustrates, doesn't it, the importance of how God pours into us, not for us, but for others that are around us so that we can move the canoe together. It's called a spiritual gift. You're the gift. And what's special is that God is going to move through you in a way that he can't move through anyone else in this church. He isn't. He's going to move through you. And so grab your paddle. You might end up splashing a few people. It's okay. Put the thing in the water, right? Let's find out how God has blessed you to be a blessing to your local church. Because membership, well, it kind of matters. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to wrap up our time together this morning. And maybe this was news to you, or maybe this was a reminder to you, or maybe you feel like, you know what, I haven't zipped my life vest. I don't even know if I'm wearing that thing. And you need to have a conversation with the Lord about your status with him. Are you even, do you even belong to the Lord? Can the Lord pour into you? Do you even know him? And so we're going to have that opportunity as well this morning. But I pray this has been encouragement to you as we look into the Bible and kind of answer the question, has your faith in God been reciprocated? The answer is yes. But there's a lot that we can learn through that process. So would you join me as I pray? Heavenly Father, some of us need to cry out to you because we realize that we're floating down the river of life and we're drowning. We don't have a canoe, we don't have an oar, we don't have a paddle, we don't have a life vest. And so we cry out for salvation. Father, we ask that you would save us. And then we want to find out what it means to be more and more like you because you have given us something that we cannot give ourselves, which is peace and security and forgiveness of sins. Father, some of us this morning have been in canoes. Some of us have been in local churches, and it didn't work out well. We jumped out of that canoe, and maybe we needed to, and maybe we didn't. But at the end of the day, it was splashy and awkward. And so we're not really in a frame of mind to be thinking about committing to another church at this point. And then others, Father, we've tried to serve, and it's been hard, and we're realizing that we served out of our own strengths, and that we didn't really take the time to find out how you had blessed us, that we're the spiritual gift, and you've given us aptitudes and abilities to serve others. So I pray, Father, through the power of your Holy Spirit, you would give us what we need to know this morning to make a decision of faith, whether for salvation, whether towards church membership, or whether towards understanding how you have blessed us to be a blessing. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.